Ladies and gentlemen, I am so thrilled to be with you again tonight after a fantastic week of proclaiming the Word of God, seeing huge crowds, and we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, and we thank God for you. Each and every one of you, all of you who have said amen and hello and hundreds and thousands of hearts and likes. And we just thank God for each and every one of you. But I want to ask you to do something Paul asked the church at Colossae to do. And he asked the church at Ephesus to do, and I really mean this. I want you, and I know some of you do it all the time, and I thank God for you, but I want you to pray for me while I preach. And those of you who are soul winners and you're bringing lost sinners to your house or to your meeting place to hear me preach, pray for them to be saved. Pray for unction and utterance, anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes preaching much easier, as you can imagine, and it makes you a part of the preaching. So not only are you hearing the preaching, but you are helping the preaching. So pray for us. And we're in the planning stages of building a prayer tower and chapel and library. And if you're listening to us anywhere in the world and God has blessed you in a certain way to pay for this cash and to have the building to be always taken care of as far as utilities, we need over $3 million to do that. I rarely say that. I do pray about it with you, but I rarely bring that up. And I know that God is going to do it. And he may want you to be a part of it. And so you pray about it, and whatever God leads you to do, you do. But it's just wonderful to end this week back on the Just Jesus train, and I want to invite all of you to stand, even those of you who are out there watching live, if you can. Some of you are listening live through Spreaker. We have a new director of the Spreaker ministry, and she's doing a fantastic job, and she is making sure that you hear the message live. Some of you have these new cars that have podcasting and all of that. You can listen to the podcast live. And we thank God for the technology that allows us to get the message out far and wide, just like Jesus predicted. Ladies and gentlemen, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 once again. And look at verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is ever now dead, even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. What faith this man, Jairus, had. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, always responded to deep faith like this. I mean, quickly, immediately. You might recall the gentle general. He had a servant who was just sick. And the gentle general's attitude was, Lord Jesus, if you don't mind, you don't even have to come to my house. I have a sick servant. I understand authority. And if you would just say the word, he'll be healed. By the time I get home, everything will be fine. I have that kind of faith in you. And here comes Jairus with a similar type faith. Rarely do we see faith like this today. My daughter is dead right now. But come and lay thy hand upon her. He had not seen Jesus raise anybody from the dead. But he just had faith in God. He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he could do it. And she shall live. Jesus is honored by that kind of faith. Jesus loves to see that kind of faith. And as you will hear a little bit later, he really cannot stand to see a lack of faith in him. O ye of little faith. And by the way, some of the saddest, most miserable people on earth that you really don't want to be around are people of no faith. Or worse, people who claim to be Christians, but O ye of little faith. They don't believe God can do anything. They claim to be Christians. They claim to be believers in Christ, but they don't think that God can get it done. They don't understand that all things are possible with God. And so they look to pitiful human beings who have no power and get mad at the pitiful human beings who have no power when they don't do the miracle that they need. Amen, somebody. And it's so sad. It is so sad because this unbelief leads to sin. It is a sin to not believe in God. It is a sin to not, it is the ultimate sin not to believe in Jesus Christ, because you will die and go to hell because of that one sin alone if you don't believe in Christ. But unbelief leads to other sins that will hinder you from getting your prayers answered, that will hinder you from being blessed. Unbelief will curse your life, and you will not get a prayer through, because unbelief itself is a sin, and it leads to a multitude of other sins. Bad attitudes, being a person who is downcast all the time, depressed. I told someone yesterday to put up an article. It's a video. I have not seen it on one of our sites. I need to see that tonight. I want to make sure this is up. I want to make sure that this is up. Teenagers, listen to me very carefully. Across this country and around the globe are depressed, defeated, disgusted, sad, angry, mad, thinking that suicide is the way out. A father said that Instagram killed his daughter because on Instagram, out of all of the places, there are little sites that invite young people in called depressed sites. And they invite young people into their little demonic sites from hell. Yes, I said it and I mean it. God is not about death. God is about life. Amen, somebody. We're getting ready to see that right in this passage. God is about raising the dead, not putting the dead in the grave. And there are sites all over the internet. Dark caverns of evil. Pay attention in the back. Put that down. Put that down until you're ready. Get it on the sermon. dark caves, little caves on the internet highway, where little depressed, demoniac teenagers and grown folk, old folk, are saying, hey, come on into this dark cave with us, you depressed teenager. You don't get along with your parents. Come and consider suicide with us. At least harm yourself. Cut your... And they got pictures of young people with cuts on their arms. One teenager had lines, had about 30 lines on his arm from his wrist on down. Let me see it in the back. These people led by devils are leading children to a Christless grave through suicide. And this father, three daughters, she was the youngest. Watch this. Listen to how tragic this is. The night before, she packed her bag for school like she normally did. She was a good little girl, one of those. She loved her father. Father loved her. She did everything like she would normally do. The next day, the father and the mother walked into the room to get up for school, and she was dead. And left a nice little note. She said, I'm proud of all of you, my sisters and everybody. I'm proud of all of you all. And I want you all to carry on. But I was just too depressed to keep on going on in this world. And it's sad that thousands of young people are depressed, defeated, and disgusted. And they haven't even lived life yet. She was not a gay. She was a normal girl. But she was tricked and bamboozled, and she ran amok listening to these little devils in these caves on the internet, the Instagram caves, Facebook caves, the depressed girls, the defeated girls and boys. You know where this comes from? A lack of faith in God. A lack of faith in Jesus. They don't know Christ. And I said it before, and I will say it again. And I know some folks don't like it. But God is not in, Jesus is not in your suicidal thoughts. They have nothing to do with that. The devil is driving you to think stupid like that. The devil. You say, well, pastor, preacher, you ought to be more sensitive. Now, be sensitive about what? I'm trying to save your soul not only from death, but hell. And I am serving notice on people, contrary to my dear, wonderful evangelical brothers. I am not sure, and I'm not confident that you're going to heaven if you kill yourself. I don't see that in the Bible. The only one I know about killing himself, Judas, went to hell. He was Christless. He did not have Christ. He did not have faith in God. He did not have faith in Jesus. He had faith in man. And 30 pieces of silver. So excuse me if I am not on the bandwagon with preachers telling you that it's okay if you commit suicide, you go to heaven still as long as you believe. No. Dear friend, see, the evidence of your being saved is not killing yourself. That's the evidence. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why would he move you to go to the dead? That's ridiculous. Well, preacher, you ought to show more love and compassion. You're scaring the children. Scaring them where? To hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? I want them to know that it is not guaranteed that you're going to meet God. You're going straight to hell because the devil filled your heart and mind to do this foolishness of murdering yourself. Because things don't go the way you are. The way you want them to go, rather. The way you see things. Man, welcome to life. So, excuse me. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, Jesus could have flown if he wanted to. He just could have, just disappeared and appeared at the place. But he went the old-fashioned way. And he walked and followed him like he didn't know where it was. But, he went ahead and followed him. Because Jesus was not in a hurry. And because it doesn't matter how long it takes Jesus to get there. The miracle was going to happen anyhow. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. We've dealt with that thoroughly in this passage. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Boy, these folks had desperate faith. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place. Get ye up out of here for a minute, you minstrels. And again, the minstrels. Now, they're basically three different sets of minstrels in our minds, in our modern times. Sad to say, if you look up the word minstrels outside of the Bible, they will deal with medieval singers and little troops and groups that will go around entertaining kings and queens and being paid very handsomely during the medieval times. And we've all seen these minstrels on television at some time or another. And then in our more modern times, if you look up minstrels in some of the dictionaries, they will talk about blackface actors, people who made fun of black people or using black dialect and so forth back in the day. And now even some do that today. But if you look in the biblical dictionary, the Bible dictionary, they were musicians, professional musicians. They didn't necessarily sing. They played that morning type music, that background music that everybody gets soothed by while you're at a wake or at a funeral. There's nothing quite like it. And so Jesus said, Now, y'all, you minstrels mourning the dead, y'all get up out of here now. And like some musicians are today, they laughed at Jesus, they laughed at the preacher. He said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And the minstrels laughed him to scorn. This was not just a chuckle. I mean, this was a belly laugh. And these people, they're professionals, so they're not sincere. They're kind of like news anchors who can tell the most horrifying story that happened that day. Building fell on 25,000 people. They all died. They're crushed like ants. And then switch in just a second, say, he is a little puppy dog running down the street and saved by this fireman. So sweet. We'll come back in a minute to tell you about that story. You hypocrite. You phony. They act like they're all sincere and sorry for the people got killed, and now they got a little puppy dog that they love so much. It's just, that's how these minstrels were. They were not. How can you come out of a, you were up there playing sad music and mourning music and all, playing your little flute and being very sincere and everything, a serious, somber situation, and then Jesus comes in. Okay, y'all, excuse me. I don't believe Jesus was rude at all. He just said, y'all give place, okay? And make room here. And y'all, let's quiet down on the music. This is not a funeral at this point because I'm here. Amen, somebody. And they just moved to the side. I don't know if they went all the way out. Evidently not, because if they were going out, they were laughing while they were going out. And not a little chuckle. Mm-mm. This was a belly laugh. I mean, uncontrollable. They kind of laughed at when they look at the other person. They did burst out laughing. What? <clears throat> Are you kidding me? A maid? I can imagine one of them said, we made her bed. She's dead. What you talking about? She sleepeth. And just like some of us Negroes, to use Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s terminology, some of us Negroes, we just had done the same thing. She's sleeping. What are you talking about? Where you been at? Where you come from? She's dead, man. We playing the flute. What you talking about? And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. That's power, my beloved. He didn't even say a word. Can somebody say amen to the word of God? And the fame hereof went, that is, the fame from here went abroad into all that land. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For Lord, you raised us from the dead. You raised us from the dead of sin and evil and rebelliousness through faith in Christ, the deadness of sin, the foolishness of sin. Thank you for saving our souls for those who are saved. Forgive us of our sins, failures, and faults as Christians. Save those who are lost among us. Crucify our flesh, the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, fill our hearts full of faith, like this man, Jairus. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to believe as Christians, like Jairus did. Help us to understand that according to your word, all things are possible with God. And then, Lord, help us to practice it by praying without ceasing and praying believingly. And Lord, tonight, save those who are lost among us, some who are struggling with faith. Give them faith tonight and save their souls and change their lives. For your glory, praise, and honor, and help them to walk by faith and not by sight. For if you can raise the dead without saying a word, Lord, you can do anything. And Lord, let these people know that tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. And dear friend of mine, tonight, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you were to die tonight and I have a question for you. Where would you go, heaven or hell? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I have a whole sermon to preach, but God led me to say what He wanted me to say as I read the scriptures. And now it's time to talk with those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, so that the miracle can be performed in their spirits, in their hearts, and in their lives of salvation. We sung a song just a few minutes ago, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loved Me. I want you to understand tonight, my dear friends, you're seeing me stand behind this podium preaching the gospel is a miracle of God, because repeatedly I cursed and I swore among my friends that I would never be a preacher like my dad. My dad was a good man. He was a very loving man, and he loved me and my family too much. He just loved us too much. In other words, he did not discipline us when we needed it. And we shamed him and embarrassed him. He didn't know any better. He did the best he could. No one had discipled him. Nobody had taught him. But I believe he got saved through the preaching of Billy Graham. But I despised my dad while I was growing up, because he was a preacher and I carried his name. And I was in public school, and he was on television, and everybody knew who he was and knew who I was. You're the preacher kid. You're going to be a preacher like your dad, ain't you? And I used to curse and swear. No way I'm going to be a preacher. And I really got angry one day when I was sitting on one of my girlfriend's porch, and we was watching the sun go down, and she said, you know what, very quietly, very romantically, you're going to be a preacher one day. Slide back over here. Slide all the way back. You're going to be a preacher one day. And I got so angry. I cursed and everything. And said, yeah, I am never going to be a preacher like my dad. My mother was a preacher too. I saw all of the hypocrisy in the church. And I knew they didn't have it. My dad had it, but he didn't know what it was to express it to me. But it's a miracle for me to be standing here sharing the gospel with you tonight. And God wants to work a miracle in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. He wants to save your soul. He wants to change the direction of your life. He wants to change the trajectory, if you will, of your life, as he did mine. Back up all the way. So, dear friend, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have failed God. I know you have not heard that before for many of you, but you have failed God. You have sinned personally against God. And God says in His Word that God is angry with the wicked every day. But this is the day of grace. God cannot stand your sin. He cannot stand my sin. But He took care of sin on the cross. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins will be forgiven. But please know that we are guilty. All of us. We're guilty of our sins. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always. I had to chastise one of my sons today. Why? Because there's a punishment for sin, disobedience, rebelliousness. All parents know it. All sheriffs know it. All police officers know it. The state trooper knows it. Sin must be punished. Even the doctor knows it. He's there to heal you. But if you don't obey the doctor, you're going to suffer in your body. If he tells you to stop drinking and you keep on drinking and your liver is not functioning right, you're going to suffer the pain. But the doctor, he was a prophet to you. He warned you, but you didn't listen. People who are sinners like we are, we don't like to listen. We're proud. We're stubborn. We're arrogant. We think we're mightier than God, and we're not. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death. Not only physically, but spiritually. Many of you are living dead lives because you live in sin. You live in darkness. Your life is going nowhere. You feel like your life is going towards a dead end every day. You can't see afar off. People talk about the light in the tunnel at the end of the tunnel. You can't see the tunnel. You can't see inside the tunnel. You can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. You're depressed, defeated, and disgusted because of sin. You're sad because of sin. Two, three letter words. Sad and sin. They go together. They go together. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. And I hate to say this, but if you do see any light, it's the light of hell at the end of the tunnel. The fires of hell will be your home if you don't trust Christ as Savior. You say, preacher, please don't be so hard on me. I'm not being hard on you. I love you, and I'm telling you the truth. You're not going to hear this anyplace else. You say, well, what did Jesus say about hell? Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers preach on it today. Sad to say. Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? He was warning you of the wrath to come if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place, like New York City is a place. Hell is a place, hell city, if you will. It's like London City is a place. Hell is a place like Paris is a place. Just because you have not been there does not mean it does not exist. I've been to all three of those places, and they are there. I'm not in any of those places right now, but I know they're there. I've been there several times, many times. Your unbelief regarding hell will not change the fact that there is a hell. Hell is as real as you're seeing me right now. You say, well, preacher, who's going to hell? God says in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, here are some folks. This is not an exhaustive list, but these are the heavy hitters going to hell. But the fearful, people too afraid to trust Christ as Savior, will go to hell. Many people are in hell today because they were afraid to trust Christ as Savior. Because of their friends, their peers, their buddies, their running group, family members, mom and them, concerned about what they might say. And then the unbelieving, people who don't believe in God, people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, there are some theologians running around here saying that God is dead, and he wanted to find out where's he buried at, because and why didn't y'all tell me about the funeral? God is not dead. Unbelievers, they call themselves high-sounding words like agnostics. or atheists, and they die and go to hell because of unbelief. And the abominable people who commit abominable acts. And there are many abominations found in the Word of God. The abomination of homosexuality, lesbianism, the abomination of men dressing up as women, women dressing up as men. We live in a day and time now, you better be very careful who you take out to dinner or take out to the bar. You might be a man looking for a woman and end up with a man looking like a woman. That's an abomination. Incest is an abomination. We heard about a group of people today, a white power group, that somehow they got in their minds to commit incest as a part of what they're about. That's an abomination. People who are trying to have sex with animals, they call it bestiality. That's an abomination. This is all beyond the pale. It is sin, but it's beyond sin. It's just going off the rails completely. People who commit abominations are going to hell. See? You say, well, preacher, how can you say that? I thought you just believe on Christ. Yeah, that's right. I believe that. That's true. But see, once you believe on Christ, you will change. You say, preacher, what do you mean? If I take too many toothpicks, I feel guilty from a restaurant. God puts it on my mind. God will tell me, you know you don't eat all those toothpicks. You're using these people's stuff because you're too lazy or too broke to buy your own. And it's wrong. It's purloining. You'll feel guilty about your sin, all of your sin. And if I feel guilty about stealing some toothpicks, you know doggone well you're going to feel guilty about being a homosexual and a transvestite and a lesbian. You know it's wrong. But not only that, not only are the abominable going to hell, but murderers are going to hell. People who kill others. Heard about a story today where four prisoners were chained to a table. I've never seen anything like it. One prisoner, filled with a demon, got up with a knife and said, I feel like killing somebody today, and started stabbing the four prisoners to death because they were chained to the table. It was a sad, sad situation. Murderers. He said, I felt like killing somebody today. They're going to hell if they don't trust Christ as Savior and repent. And whoremongers. Oh, that includes some of us in the church. Includes pastors and preachers. Church members. Whoremongering around. Whoremongers include whores. Men being whoremongers and women being whores. Heterosexual sin. People having sex outside of marriage. People don't feel guilty when they have sex with their own wife and own husband. But they feel guilty. They know they're wrong when they have sex outside of the marriage bonds. They do. We know it's wrong, don't we? People who practice adultery and fornication, which includes lusting after people on the screen, pornography, all of it is evil as hell. I told people before anybody else said it, there's no pornography crisis in the church. A man who's born again and saved, he's just not going to keep looking at it. He may look at it. He may struggle with it in the beginning. But if he's born again and saved, he's just not going to keep looking at it. And nor will a woman. They can't do it. Why? Because they have Jesus living deep down on the inside. But we're not going to stop there. Not only are whoremongers going to hell, sorcerers are going to hell. people who practice voodoo and witchcraft. Almost a week to this day, I was pulling out of a restaurant with my family. I was rewarding my little baby boy for doing some good work for the Lord. And I looked to my left, and lo and behold, there was a sorcerer right across the street. Had some cars in a beautiful Christian city where I live at, right on the main highway. And evidently she's doing quite well, but she's going to hell, and everybody's following her will go to hell as well. Sorcerers are going to hell. Witches, voodoo workers are going straight to hell if they don't repent of their sins and trust Christ their Savior. If you got somebody in your house sticking pins in little dolls, you better run. You better run. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, you're going to hell. If you live in that, live. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your little puppy dog. I don't care if it's your child. I don't care if it's your spouse. They do not come before God. Nobody comes before God Almighty. That's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. God, we don't hear about this much today, but God is a jealous God. He's always been jealous, and he's jealous right now. He will not tolerate you putting anything or anybody before him, even yourself. Why? Because God is the one who made you. God is the one who made your wife. God is the one who made your husband. God is the one who made and created your children. God's behind the car you drive and the house you live in. So he's not going to tolerate you putting anything or anybody before him in the back. In the back. And then finally, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If God didn't get you on the other ones, if you're not a whoremonger good, but are you a liar? Are you lying about not being a whoremonger? I'm not a homosexual, that's good. But are you a liar? Are you lying about being in the closet? Hell is bad news, my dear friends. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ was speaking of himself, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell. In hell. When I was growing up as a little boy, I heard about being saved. I heard the word being saved. I remember one of my parents' church friends, Eugene, always talking about, "Oh, she ain't saved. She's a hoochie mama." And I often wonder what is saved. Back then, I thought being saved, you had to live a somber life, and you had to wear long dresses, and that's what I thought being saved was. And I would ask the question, being saved from what? Saved from what? Well, I'm here to tell you, you're being saved from hell, the hell that you deserve, by the grace of God through trust and faith in Christ. And the verse finishes by saying, "But have everlasting life," that is to be with God in Jesus Christ and the holy angels throughout eternity, by simply putting your faith and trust in Christ and being willing to repent of your sins past. And God will take care of all of that by his grace once you trust him as Savior. You do understand that when you trust Christ as Savior, you're going to repent of your old life. That's common sense. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will help you with that. Don't worry about it. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul tonight. And he will save you as sure as I'm black and my last name is White. God will save your soul. If God can save me, and he did, he can save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Yes, saved from a miserable, sad life, a life of no purpose. Yes, saved to a life while living on this earth of peace and joy and direction, but ultimately saved from hell that will destroy all of that. And so, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask God to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer, phrase by phrase, if you are trusting Christ in your heart, believing that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Follow me in prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. Lord, I have lied before. I have been an unbeliever. I've committed abominable acts, and I've had abominable thoughts. Lord, you know I've done some whoremongering around and some whoring around in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and my spirit. Please forgive me of all of my wickedness, my evil, and my sins. And help me to repent of my... Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and save my soul and change my life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and take over as I now believe in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, he suffered and he bled and died on the cross for your sins and for mine and for the world's, was buried because he truly died and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send to you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, I'll preach this message at another time as God leads. And so until next time, God loves you, Jesus Christ loves you, and we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.